So, well, let's just reread the paragraph that we ended off with last week. Kishmitzayrim, right? Kishmitzayrim is kirvat hagi'ula. When we picture the coming closer of the ge'ula, hagat hinam be'emes kroivim el ge'ula, then we are really close to the ge'ula. Right? This is obviously part of the whole shita that Rabbi Yaakov Moshe has been presenting, including in where we started, meaning in Chelek Aleph of Memorom, is that the machshava of our machshava, our thought, and the way we picture something, really brings about that metzius. It's a similar thing. It's not exactly the same, but it's a similar to you said of the Baal Shem Tov that says, the place where the person is thinking, that's where he is. Like that really defines where he really is. It's not exactly the same site, because there the Baal Shem Tov is really saying is that that's just the machshava of the person is the metzius of a person. It's almost like, if you want to borrow from physics, it's the observer. Right, the observer actually defines what the metzius is, according to the new physics. Or at least many believe that that's true. So Rebecca Moshe here is saying something more than that. not just that it defines now, but it's actually going to bring it about. Actually, where the mind of the person is, that's actually what's going to bring about that matzav that you're thinking about, that you're aiming for. Okay, so when you picture the Geula coming closer, it really is getting closer. The EF Shabashum Oifin, the Tzayer, as Kirva Segeula, Ki'im Al Yedei Akar, Shiruyim Heima Beis Yisrael Geula. It's impossible to picture the Geula approaching, getting closer, unless you have that recognition that Klal Yisrael is really ro'uy to the Geula. We're really worthy of the Geula. Because if Klal Yisrael is not worthy of the Geula, then how could you picture that the Geula is coming? So there has to be some level where you can tap into that understanding and that picture that really, even today, with all the problems, with all the horrible problems that exist amongst us, right? Nevertheless, the Jewish people still are worthy of the Geula.
You have to think that, because that's necessary in order to be made.
In order to have a tzir of the Geula coming closer.
Why do we have to have that tzir?
In order to bring the Geula.
That's the only way?
We need that, certainly to bring it along faster. So you have to have that akara, that recognition that the Jewish people are indeed worthy of the Geula already now. Lo achrech mitzad shemitzvah lamed zchus. Not just because it's a mitzvah to be lamed zchus. This is not just like a game, so to say. This is not just like, not a game, but not just a vort in, you have to be lamed zchus, and you've elimim pnei shebe'emes Yisrael kedoshim heim. Because that's the real truth. The real truth is that Klal Yisrael are kedoshim, v'she'eris Yisrael lo yasu avla. And Klal Yisrael never ever does anything wrong. That's where we ended off last week. What does that mean? And that's really the introduction to where we're beginning now. He's going to describe and explain this, what he means by this. Kiddushasan shel Yisrael mitzad haklal shelahem lo nifga me'olam. The kedusha of Yisrael mitzad their klal was never ever blemished, never dented. And it's in its purest form, like it always was, now as it always was. It's never ever changed. Can you imagine that? Obviously we can understand, we could picture that at Har Sinai, where it says the Zuama, that spiritual filth, was cleaned off of us. And we reached an epitome of Kedusha, and then at that point the Kedush Baruch Hu gave us the Torah. That level of Kedusha remained with us forever, throughout all the Averis, and they were terrible, obviously, like we're going to see, right? There was the Eagles of, and there was the Meraglim, and there was, but nevertheless, that Kedusha, Mitzad the Klal, we'll have to understand that a little bit more, Mitzad the body called the Jewish people, that Klal Kedusha remained forever untouched, unblemished.
Isn't the Klal just the sum of its parts?
No, it's not. That's what we're going to see. Umi'olam kolachata'im va'ivutim heim rak mitzad ha'prat v'lo mitzad ha'klal. So that really all the sins and all the terrible things that have been done are only mitzad the individual, mitzad the detail, and not mitzad the klal, not mitzad the whole. So that, okay, let's see. Va'afila im anu mitzim klal sholei. Shekulam nisaygu achar, and even if we find an entire klal, like all of them, turn backwards, turn away from Hashem. You need to know shegamze einu mitzad klal ela shebihizdamnut. What's the next word? Nishtavu.
Niskavnu.
Shebihizdamnut niskavnu harbi protim biyachad. That also, even when they're all involved in doing something wrong. That also is not mitzad the klal. It's not from the side of the whole. It's just, it happens to be. It's just like a happenstance almost. It just happened to be that many, many, many individuals, many, many details of this whole, many, right, joined together and into the same, you know, joined together and had that same idea, that same avera. Avla klal hakodesh shel kneses Yisrael ba'amuvan ha'pnimi. But the klal, the holy klal of kneses Yisrael, which is really a Kabbalistic construct, kneses Yisrael, it's really the nishmas Yisrael, in its innermost understanding of the musik, shel musik ha'klal, of the concept of the klal, shebi Yisrael, of the Jewish people, they're really only the very, very holy people, the holiest of people, are able to really have a tremendous height of this concept called Knesset Yisrael. I once was at a Sheva Brachos, and Rav Kreisel Zatzal, Rav Chaim Kreisel Zatzal, spoke. And he said, does anyone here know what Knesset Yisrael is? What does it mean, Knesset Yisrael? And different people like indicated that they know. And he said, no one here knows what Knesset Yisrael is. Meaning he was indicating that Knesset Yisrael is something very, very, very deep. Yeah, I don't think he saw Rabbi Yaakov Moshe's, maybe, who knows. But that's what he said. Knesset Yisrael is not an easily grasped concept. Because, like we're going to see now, this is really what he was indicating, is no, the whole is not the sum of the parts. Knesset Yisrael is an untouched, pure Kedusha, the essence of the Jewish people.
Also untouched by Chet Adam Rishon?
Untouched by anything. Well, Chet Adam Rishon came before, but...
Let's
just see here. Me'olam loichata, it never ever, right? The klal of Yisrael, the Knesset Yisrael, never ever did as Navera. Chet Egel had nothing to do with klal Yisrael. Chet Egel wasn't a Havera, wasn't a sin of klal Yisrael. Ume'olam loinifgam b'ma'uma, and they never ever were blemished. Rak keshenechlesha heiskashus. Just that when their binding, their attachment to the klal became weakened, okay, their attachment to the klal in its most true meaning became weakened, then they stumbled into averus, and they, you know, moved away from Hashem and His Torah. It was that divide, that loss of connection to their essence. It's really an identity crisis. If a Jew does an Avera, it's stemming from an identity crisis. It's not him. He wouldn't do an Avera. The true him. We'll have to explain this now. how do you understand this idea? So halachically, if you take two principles in the Gemara and we contrast them, we'll be able to understand what is a klal. How is the klal not just the how is the whole not just the sum of the parts? How is the klal not just the sum of the pratim? Right. So in halach in Gemara we have two different types of categories when it comes to a collection of individuals. We have what's called shutfim. Okay, shutfim are partners, right? And shutfim, let's say for example, that want to bring a carbon together on behalf of Klal Yisrael, a carbon seaver, it doesn't help because shutfim are just partners. They're still looked as two individuals that have partnered together. But there's another concept called tzibur, and the tzibur is has a different hagdara in Gemara, and it has different nafkaminas in halacha and in different Gemaras. A tzibur is right a collection of everyone, but it's not just a collection. It's like it's past that connection. If you want to talk, you know, if you want to have like another idea of it, halachically speaking, so you can look at, for example, when it comes to Hilchas Chametz or it comes to Hilchas Ribbis. So there's a whole halacha question, which we're not going to take sides and we're not going to get into, but there's a whole halacha question. How would you look at, let's say, a company, right, an investment company that has stocks, you have stocks, and some of the stocks are in Chametz, right? So if you look at that who makes up the company, it's all the stockholders. Right. So then, if you have stocks that are chametz, you're just over on Pesach, chametz bePesach, chas v'shalom, because you own that chametz. Same thing with ribbis. If that company is giving out loans and charging right extra whatever, they're taking interest. So you're being over on ribbis, but there's another way to look at a company. I think if I remember correctly, Shlomo Zalman Auerbach holds this way, that no, a company, an investment company or whatever, a stock, right, is not a collection of individuals at all. It's its own body that has it's independent of the shareholders, even though without the shareholders, the whole thing would fall. But it has its own identity, and therefore, it's not your chametz, and it's not your ribbis. It's not your problem. It's a halachic dispute amongst the poskim. But this is just a little bit to give a little bit of an understanding of what the concept of klal is. The concept of klal is that Klal Yisrael is a body, okay, a spiritual body, that is not just the sum of the parts, but has an inherent holiness, an inherent kedusha, which is untouched. And the individuals in Klal Yisrael all stem from that klal, and anything that doesn't stim in their actions with that klal is coming from some kind of external influence which doesn't really indicate, doesn't really reflect on who they really are. It's very important to realize. That's why you have different gemaras and different ideas. The Kadosh Baruch Hu says, you know, you'll have to bring a kapara on me. Is to bring a kapara, you know, and there's also an idea that all the averis are going to be thrown onto the heads of the goyim, because all the averis really come from the goyim. It comes from influences, external influences that don't reflect us. It's caused us to lose focus and lose our connection with ourselves. It's caused us a spiritual, psychological, emotional crisis. But nevertheless, it's not really me doing it. I don't mean to do that. I don't want to do that. That's not me. That's not who I am. And this beer, this clarification and kind of being able to see who the real you is, that is the avodah that right now, well, we're aiming at, or Rabbi Yaakov Moshe is saying everybody should be aiming at getting to understand more and more this idea, being able to view the Jewish people in this way. And certainly when the Gula comes, that's going to become very, very clear to everyone. So we're not tricking ourselves. We're not fooling ourselves. But it's the recognition that the Jew in essence is being that he's a part of Klal Yisrael. The Knesset Yisrael is the truth, is the essence, is that what we call the Pintel Yid inside the Jew. Right? That Pintel Yid, when we speak about the Pintel Yid, what does that mean? That Nekuda Pnimis, that innermost Nekuda in the person, that's the real essence of the person. It's not just that, oh, he lost everything else except for that Nekuda which wasn't lost. That's not what it means. What it means is that the Nekuda Pnimis is the essence of the Jew. And the idea is, the goal is, that essence will flare up and reveal itself in his whole body, in his whole being. Unfortunately, sometimes it doesn't work out that way, or whatever, somebody, you know, Tinek Shanishba, whatever it is, or yeah, the outer influences get the better of us, and it can sometimes, you know, get less and less manifested in the Jewish person, and find itself so constricted to the point of only being in that Nekuda. But ultimately, that Nekuda Pnimis is the essence. It always remains the essence. And just a question if we can make that Nekuda kind of expand and take us over. That's the avoid, is to take it, to expand that Nekuda, and in the sense of revelation, not in the sense of that it's not there, but when it's hidden, when it's concealed by our superficial, our external maisim, our actions which are not really stemming from our essence, right, but are stemming from outside influences, so it becomes concealed and looks to us only as a tiny, tiny Nekuda hiding out over there. Okay, but that's the essence of who we are. So that we are a part of Klal Yisrael, and our Knesset Yisrael, Nishmas Yisrael, is our essence. And therefore, no matter what we look like, we actually are really, really worthy of the Gula right now.
The Yetzirah doesn't resurrect up with Yetzirah.
The Yetzirah is an external. Even that Rizal, the way he discusses it, calls it the Levushim. They're like garments on our neshama, that clothe our neshama. And one of them is the Yetzirah, one is the Yetzirah. Even the Yetzirah is an external thing. Relative to our essence. Huh?
That's like that, because Gemara says that's like Shiva
yeah.
Amim and so Shiva Issa.
Yeah.
And both of these things are external.
Yeah. Okay. Val Cain, and therefore, Keshemagia Tor Hidgalut Saade Hagiula. Therefore, when the time comes for the revelation of the, you know, the firsts of the Geula, Reishis Atshuva Hi. What is the first tshuva that needs to be done? He lashuv la'kifis rigshia musaga klala nelem shel Yisrael. That's the first step of tshuva, is to return and to encompass the feelings of the musag, of that concept of klal, of the hidden klal, the concealed klal of the Jewish people. That's the first step, is to build an awareness of that concealed klal of the Jewish people. Meaning, that's the first step of the tshuva that needs to be done approaching the Gula, is to reveal the concept of klal Yisrael, of Knesset Yisrael. Ulhitnatzel la'at la'at me'apratiyut, and to be saved slowly but surely from the pratiyut, from the individualism. From the individualism. Shemimelal pize kolachatoyim v'ivutim hazdonot v'ashkagot ichdalu kalil v'lo yuod. Memela, when that happens, all the averus and all the misdoings, the purposeful, intentional, and the unintentional, will completely be stopped, will not continue. If we are able to reveal in ourselves, we're able to reveal to others, and we're able to like really build that awareness. And it's not possible to Navera. I don't remember who said it, but I remember hearing in Yeshiva also quoting one of the big tzaddikim, I don't remember who it is now, but said something like that if you chapt who you are, in other words, if you chapt what it means to be a Jew, it wouldn't be possible to do an avera. And that's really what we're saying over here, except that the focus is that a Jew is not just an individual. The Jew is part of a klal here, of a super duper kedusha, right? That just is impenetrable, is completely dovuk by Hashem, is completely cleaving to Hashem and one with Hashem, and that therefore doesn't allow us, b'chlal, to do anything wrong. The only way that a Jew can do an avera is by him becoming an individual. As soon as we become an individual, as soon as we become a little bit, you know, our ego, sort of our self, become a little bit more self-centered, that's where avera can creep in. That's where avera can creep in. Now, I'll mention two things. One thing is, we still have to discuss at some point, I don't know when, but it doesn't mean that the individual loses his individuality. That's not what we're talking about. That's not what the Torah demands. There's a very, very big place for individuality, right? I mean, just take the Gemara, for example, that says, how are you supposed to learn, right? B'mkayim sheli b'chofetz, where your heart desires, meaning there's not like a plan, a one fits all in the Torah, but you have to go with your inner feeling of what you're drawn to, so there's clearly, based on what we've spoken about in others and other places and another, you know, that everybody has to know their own neshama, their own personal tendencies, what their kishrones are, what their abilities are. There's 12 shvatim. There's plenty of distinction. That's not the issue here. No, there's no question that a person has to develop themselves and work with what they have, with their kelim, with their midos, and go with that. But all that work and all that focus should be like the picture that we should have in our minds is that our individuality is flowing forth nonstop from the klal. It's an extension of the klal. It's a manifestation of one aspect of the klal. And if our individuality is flowing out of the klal, it's not something separate, right? It's an extension of the klal. Then that's the way to work. So that everything we do is, you know, l'shem yichu kutshi b'richu, b'shem kol Yisrael, whether you say it or not, whatever side of you're on, but certainly that should be the kavana, is that you're doing it to be unified, HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Shechina, in the name of kol Yisrael. Whatever we do is shem kol Yisrael, we're coming to be Ovid Hashem from being a part of the kol Yisrael. V'zoi ha'toichen. Now the other thing I said, the other thing I was going to say, the second point is that's the idea we have by Yom Kippur, right? That they have to bring a par, and par. And Rashi says tova em or par, tova em mechaper al bina, right? That the mother will come and be mechaper on the eagle, on the child. So same thing with Klal Yisrael. The idea is that, right, all the calves are really an extension of the mother. So that if you go back to the mother and you see that the mother is for Hashem, the mother is connected to Hashem, the mother is being brought to Hashem, so that means that everything that came out of it automatically is also just part of Hashem's domain. Mm-hmm. And that's how the kapara works. What does it mean? Tavai, who cares? This is the mother, this is the child. No, the idea is that the child is an extension of the mother. The mother is the cloud of the pratim, which are all the children that are born out of her. And that's the same thing over here with Klal Yisrael, and that's, by the way, tshuva, the inyan of the mother and the children. The mother is, Kabbalistically speaking, is bina, or ima, which is coming from the spiritual construct that's called, so to say, the mother construct, which unifies in it all the splintered, fragmented spheres that are under it. And that's exactly it. The avera comes from that fragmented state. And the tshuva is by bringing it all back into the klal. That's exactly what we're discussing over here. And that's what Rabbi Yaakov Moshe is saying. That's the beginning of tshuva. The beginning of tshuva is that all chet comes from fragmentation, comes from individualism. But if you, you know, suck it back up into that klal, you bring it back up into the klal, gone. The averas are gone. They're no longer there. because everything you're connected really to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's it. Whatever was done had nothing to do with the mother, had nothing to do with the klal. It was coming from something external to you. And then, therefore, that's your tshuva. You got now back to Hashem. You made that clarification that what you did, you know, you regret. It's not a part of you. It had nothing to do with you. That's not who you are. The Torah says, Hayoyim, today, and that means every single day, because the Torah is eternal. The Torah is made. The Torah testifies. The Klal Yisrael, you, all of you, are attached to Hashem, your God, living, right? All of you, living today. Meaning every single, at all times, the Torah is made. The Torah testifies that we, all of us, however ugly some of us might look, are connected and dovuk b'Hashem, attached to Hashem. And if we chop that, it makes it much, much easier to appreciate, you know, to look with an ayin tova, and the things that you don't like, you realize that's not the person's essence. I feel bad for him, actually. I feel very, very bad for that person, because that person is suffering from a terrible, terrible identity crisis, from a terrible, terrible divide and disconnect from his essence. It's a horrible way to live. But Be'etzem, since Klal Yisrael is always attached to Hashem, and we're always ready, waiting and ready for the Geula. Always, always ready, because we're always worthy of it. V'zeu ha-toichen ha-tor she-besoiris ha-klolius ha-mis-oir ate b'kol kach toikef. And this is the pure content of the general, like the his-oiris of the klolius. There's like a big, you know, movement of klolius. I think what he's referring to, right, is nationalism. The idea of nationalism, all those nationalistic movements that were going on in the last century, was a move to the klal. It's a stirring of the klal, because that's part of the process towards the redemption, towards the geula.
It was unconscious.
Huh?
It was like an unconscious move to the klal.
Right. And it's really going on in the whole world, you know. The fish ha-sheirish ha-niska v'azeh she-rigshas ha-tshuva nechtar omek b'libes kol Yisrael, because this very lofty root of the feeling of tshuva is so penetrated, it's penetrated so deep in the hearts of all the Jewish people, that they're all yearning to come closer to their klal, to want that there should be a klal Yisrael. Yeah, okay, they don't know, that they're supposed to keep Torah mitzvahs. They are even maybe running away from Torah mitzvahs. But what's this big push for a Jewish nation? Where does the push for the Jewish nation come from? Who cares? Why is it so powerful? Even by people that are so, like, detached from their Judaism. That's where it's coming from. It's that deep, deep be'etzem thirst, that deep feeling of tshuva that's inside all of us. V'tzadiki ador kadosh Yisrael. And the tzaddikim of the generation, the holy ones of the Jewish people, tzrichim lahamshich as a klal anel mahu, it's their job to draw that concealed klal, betkifus kedushasai, in its the holy strength, in this, like the full strength of its holiness. That's the way to put it. Ularchivay bekol merchavi achaim, and to expand it in all the expanses of life and all the areas of life. And to, like, you know, spread it over the entire nation. How do you do that? That also comes through revealing the hidden and the concealed. That any stirring that stirs within Knesset Yisrael, when you see it's coming from dedication to Klal Yisrael, and to raising up the Keren, the honor of the Jewish people, and then your job is to show, the tzaddikim's job is to show that mitzad it's klolius, there's no blemish here, there's nothing wrong here, there's no hafeira in that nationalistic, you know, that klal yearning that they're having, and the stains that you see on the outside, Einam ela mitzad ha-protius. Those stains are just coming from the protius, from the individual. That's not the real that. That's not the real part of the movement, so to say. Shadayin lo itnaru mehem. Those stains, that protius, they still haven't shook off. Right? Yeah, they're all getting all excited about the cloud, but there's still a lot of proteus in there. There's still a lot of the feeling they haven't shaken off fully. If they shook off fully the self-centeredness, the individualism, then they'd be chazer b'tshuva right away.
That means that if a group of people decide to make a nationalistic movement within Klal Yisrael to destroy the Torah, then it's coming from a place of Knesset Yisrael wanting to return and do tshuva?
Yeah, so if the banding together, like, if that was the Metzias, that
or, I don't know. That's,
yeah. So over there, they weren't making a national movement. They were just going against. Somebody asked that last week. Yeah. Somebody that they were just going against the Torah. Yeah. I don't know if there could be even such a movement which was built in such a way that it had this like dual purpose: one, to make a Jewish people, and two, to break the Torah and destroy the Torah. And it's true, there were Gdolim that held, and that's, you know, they looked at the Zionist movement as not really wanting a Jewish people, but just wanting to destroy the Torah. That was the way some Gdolim saw that. Rabbi Yaakov Meshach clearly did not see it like that. Certainly, I mean, if you read the writings of, and even the diaries and letters of most of these, you know, Zionist leaders and people, you don't get that impression. You don't get an impression that was their focus. They did see the Torah as outdated. They did see it as maybe holding back the Jewish people. But it does seem, at least if you ask me, at least as far as the Pshuto Shel Mikra, you know, that no, they really were into. I mean, how did this whole thing? How did, like, Herzl, for example?
Wasn't he into that part?
Right? Yeah, right. But how did he have his like wake up? When he realized with the Dreyfus trials that the Jewish people are, no matter what, they're going to be, you know, they're always going to be near death. They're never ever going to be accepted, no matter where they get to, no matter how matzliach, how successful they are, they're never going to be accepted, right? So he suddenly that was like a certain Jewish pride that got flared up in him. I mean, he could have just done what most people did, was just like, okay, whatever, that's the situation, and then what I got to do about it? But he went and he put on tremendous kayak and really going around the world and like sounding like a lunatic, really, you know. and so clearly there was a certain Jewish pride that was flared up in him through the Dreyfus trial, you know. So again, can anybody say, you know, I see it this way, he sees it that way, and we're, you know, who's right, and, you know, which tzaddik saw it the right way? Okay, I don't know, but, you know, I think what Rabbi Yaakov Meshach is doing is he's saying, and this I think was, you know, Rav Kook and Rabbi Yaakov Meshach were seeing, is that, yeah, we are aware of their bad kavanas. The bad kavanas are taka bad, but they're coming from a proteus. They're coming from the blemishes that are still left over. But the good, that tremendous dedication, that willingness to put yourselves out for the Jewish people, that is something which is coming from a holy place. Now, at the same time, this story is very, very complicated. I don't want to get into this because it's not good. I don't really, like I said, we're doing this not because of the Zionistic issues here involved. We're doing it more for the Koyach HaMachshav and the Koyach HaTzir, and for how to apply for our own Avodas Hashem. So I'm not so concerned. I'm not, let's say, my issue is like the political clothing here that this is, you know, dressed in, so to say, and the point in history where this was written. But there certainly were things that were very difficult to explain or to like make shtim with this mahalach. For example, you know, if you take the story, you know, with the Hungarians who, you know, the Kastner story or whatever it is, that the Kastner, what?
The book?
Perfidy. Yeah. You know, what's it called? Perfidy, yeah. Where, you know, you had Zionist leaders who literally just, you know, basically just mamish did everything in their power to make sure the close to 1 million Hungarian from Jews would be killed. So that's not really sticking up. That doesn't sound so nationalistic, you know. Even if they're doing the name of Zionism, whatever it is, it's not a very not a very caring for the klal. At the same time, you know, there is an aspect that they're so warped. This is part of the difficult thing, is they're so warped in their concept of you see, on the other end, they were very wrapped up. You know, they were very worked up with the idea of the klal and the idea of nationalism. So that was a real thing by them. Yet they didn't see this as a steer. They saw this as protecting their klal, their warped concept of klal Israel. Like, oh, these Jews are going to just cause us problems. They're not going to know how to develop. It's better we don't get involved with this. And it's very sick. It's extremely sick. Right? It's extremely sick. That's what happened. You know, when the mind gets warped, it gets very, very warped to the point of horrible, horrible ethical, deeds. In any case, the Maisa, let's just finish off over here. So he says that any Aseiris that's stirring, that's waking up in Knesset Yisrael, that stems from their dedication to Klal Yisrael and raising the honor of Klal Yisrael to show how, right, everything is just coming from all the blemishes are just coming from the stains are coming just from the proteus, from the individual, is, you know, from that detached from the klal shadayin lo itnaru mem, that they still didn't get rid of vagilia ze atzmo hu echad mitarke yekitza pnimis shel klal atomi vagilia shelanu. This is very, very chashuv, very important. This revelation itself is one of the ways to wake up that inner, to get that inner awakening of the klal, of that hidden klal, of that high klal of ours. L'hachshir al-dei zeh is called Yisrael L'gulas Emes, to prepare through this all of Yisrael L'gulas Emes. So if we want to kind of pitch in, so to say, in helping Klal Yisrael do tshuva, in helping the Jewish people, Klal Yisrael doesn't have to do tshuva, but in helping the Bnei Yisrael, helping the people and the Jewish people, right, do tshuva. So the number one way is to stir in ourselves, to reveal in ourselves and in others the meaning of what Klal Yisrael is, the meaning of the klal, the meaning of. And by the way, you know, the truth of the matter is that a lot of the tshuva that's done today, a lot of the focus is exactly, you know, just like about marrying Jewish. That's, you know, in Chutzlars. And the idea, and that's basically, it's a very interesting phenomenon, that message somehow speaks. It's a message which doesn't really make sense. It's a message that's somewhat illogical if you're taking the world view of most irreligious people, which looks at Judaism as something kind of like, it doesn't make any, that's like irrational. So then you're telling them, listen, just marry within. Why? Because you're part of a history. You're part of a nation that has a very rich history. Why throw it away? And that message somehow still finds home, even though many of them can't get themselves to be Shomer Torah Mitzvos. But it still finds a home in their hearts that, yeah, you know something? I want to marry Jewish. Makes no sense, but that's exactly it. That's that koyach haklal. That still has an extra special koyach. That feeling, that's such a powerful feeling. I don't want to throw away my Jewishness. I don't necessarily want to be Jewish in my actions, but I don't want to throw away my Jewishness. And if I intermarry, I'm throwing away my Jewishness. My kids, I've broken the chain. And that's a very, very chashuv thing. Why is that so powerful? That's because of this. That's because of the it's a tap in, it's tapping into the klal. And when you're Megala, when you're revealing in those people, in those students, you're revealing in them the koyach of the klal. They don't even necessarily understand how it's working on them, but it works. Okay. Good luck.